Hey everyone, this is Uxbridge High School Principal Mike Rubin, and this is our Uxbridge High School Spartan Podcast. And in this episode, we'll be talking about some of our safety procedures and some of the other guidelines, protocols about returning to school. We're finally there. So this is actually pulled from our video that you can find on our website that was emailed home. Hopefully you found that video and you find this information helpful.
Hey everyone, Mike Rubin, Uxbridge High School Principal. Thanks for spending some time with us this evening. We're going to be spending some time, going to be reviewing some of our procedures and some of our protocols for the start of the year. And hopefully you find these helpful as we get back. And we're ready to go for the start of the school year next year, next week. Hard to believe it's finally there. This has been one of the, probably one of the most challenging, certainly the most challenging experience of my professional career. But I am feeling very, very positive and very, very, very optimistic about where we're going to be come the next few days. So this is the first in a series of videos. This is going to focus really on safety procedures. Next one's going to focus more on the academics. We do expect that these will be helpful. And as always, feel free to reach out. So without any further ado, we're going to take a look at our at this presentation, beginning first with, obviously, welcome back. And it has been a long time. I think, we started the really arduous process of what the return to school could look like. Probably, I would say probably in June, May or June, when we really started focusing on that transition from the end of 2019-20 to the start of 2021. And, we were trying to wrap things up as easily and as quickly as we could. And obviously there were some things hanging out there for the from the previous year, last to get to the summer. But hopefully this will be inspiring and informative. We'll also try to introduce you to as many of our procedures as possible. I am recording this from home, which is why I'm not wearing a mask. That is something that we're going to talk a lot about in this presentation. And as we start looking at our core values, really the first two are the ones that we are really emphasizing right off the bat. We need to share responsibility, not just for excellence, but now for each other's safety. And I think that is something that is in particular so very important, that we rely on each other now more than ever to maintain safety. And that's going to be really important as we take a look at these opening days of school. And the second part is we've persevered through a challenge unlike any other, and we will continue to persevere. And there are still some as yet to be unknown challenges before us. And we know that we can get through those stronger together. But the business of looking backwards and wondering what could have been, what would be, now gives way to a different kind of present. And that's that school starts next week. And, we actually get to think about in a few weeks having grades and report cards. And the goal is that once students start working, that even though the how it is delivered may look different, what they learn and why they're learning it, the authenticity of what we do becomes all the more important. So our goals for this first month of school is very similar to what we talked about last year when we met as a staff at the onset of the school year, and that's connection before content. We're going to build relationships. We're going to establish who we are with our students, and you will see that over these next few days. We're going to be introducing new guidelines and new protocols that are intending to keep us safe, but also mindful of the fact that we are getting back to school. And getting back and going back and being physically in the building for many of our students for the first time in 6 months is a challenge in and of itself. As for the year, we're going to minimize risk. Every one of these procedures that you see in front of you that we'll be explaining in the next few days intends to minimize risk. There simply is no way for us to eliminate risk. We can't eliminate all risks. We have had handbooks and procedures in place for months and years, and we are going to do the best we can to ensure that those procedures are followed and that they are safe. And the bottom line for us is our school is an awesome place. I'm incredibly proud of the people who are in it, and we don't get to choose our challenges, so we'll meet this one together and we'll meet it head on. some of the procedures, and we'll go through some of these in this slideshow. They are different. So as a preview of coming attractions, we're going to talk about transit. We're going to talk about bathrooms. I'm actually going to start with a couple of these in the middle because they're not necessarily highlighted on their own slide. First of all, parents, if students forget something during the course of the year, you will not be entering the building to give that to them. You will find a table in the vestibule outside the main office. You'll come in, you'll leave something there, you'll sign it, you'll sign who it's there for, we'll call the student down, and it'll be a touchless transaction. Tardies and dismissals will be touchless. Students, when they walk in, will either scan using their smartphone or their iPad, Chromebook. They'll scan the QR code as they enter the building that indicates whether they are tardy because they're late to school or tardy because of senior privilege. Same thing with dismissal, and they won't have to enter the office for a pass. It will automatically generate a message for our office. And we'll be following up with dismissal procedures, but right now we're kind of going to do this as touchless as possible and trying to eliminate as much traffic in the main office as we can. We're going to start with student responsibilities. We talked about sharing them, and these are some of the things that we are asking our students to do. We're going to spend some time in this presentation about proper mask wearing. We're going to talk about hygiene and cleaning up and things that we sometimes took for granted prior to this pandemic. And then as we continue over the into the presentation about academics, the responsibility to have devices charged and to be in constant communication with us. We are empowering our students. They are going to help us with our building. It is their building. I've said that since my first day as principal. I am the keeper of the student school. It is their school. It's your school. It's our school collectively. And they are young adults who can share in that responsibility. When I send this out, you'll see a video on stopping the spread of germs. We're going to start with some of the safety protocols. And this is particularly important. The medical guidance that we are providing from the CDC, from our Board of Health, is that if a student is not well, he or she does not come to school. We've all been there where we've played hurt. We haven't felt well. We have a slight fever. We get a little bit of under the weather. It feels like a cold. And it's not, you all of a sudden have a runny nose, but you know you're not used to having allergies or anything like that. We're telling students to come home. And the big one is the fever. Students will take a couple Tylenol and tough it through the day. And we really can't have that. And so if a student is symptomatic and reaches out to the school nurse, reaches out to us, and chooses not to get tested, we're asking that they stay home in a period of quarantine. If any of these symptoms are found at school, there will be a notification from our school nurse that will be sent home saying, this is a potential case of the coronavirus, COVID-19, and we are going to ask that the student get tested. At that point, families do have a choice to make. We're not mandated. We're not testing as students enter the building, but this is the list of symptoms that we are following with guidance from the nurse's office. And while I'm talking about the nurse's office, very important to note that only those who are not well are going to the nurse's office. Those who have chronic medical conditions are going to the nurse's office. But as far as heading to the nurse's office for a Band-Aid, we're gonna try and avoid those sort of situations. In terms of, and I'll talk a little bit more about notification if somebody is positive in just a minute. Hand hygiene, particularly coming into the building as students enter. There's hand sanitation stations all over the building. There's sanitizer pumps. There's sanitizing pumps in classrooms. We expect that our students are constantly washing their hands and touching things as infrequently as possible. There'll be a quick video here about hand washing also to be sent home. And all the different times when you're reading through this presentation that you really should be washing your hands before and after. And you know, it says, for example, after using shared equipment, we're gonna expect that before using shared equipment, students sanitize. After they're done sharing the equipment, they sanitize, and they might even wipe down and spray down some of that equipment for us. Students will be spraying down desks for us. Not significant an issue because the stuff that they're putting on the desk, and we'll talk about this also again in a second, is alcohol-based and skin safe. Going to spend some time now on masks. Masks are worn at all times in our building, passing times, in the corridor, common areas, even if students are 6 feet apart. There are only a couple of reasons why somebody would not be allowed to wear a mask, and it's really related to disability impact or medical reasons. They have to be really strictly documented, so we expect everyone to be in a mask. And a mask, if somebody shows up and they don't have one, it gets dirty, so on and so forth, they will have them on hand. We'll have some disposables for students to have, and we'll actually have some non-disposables if someone says that they're struggling to find a mask. But if students are compromising our safety, and I'll get there in a second, they're not going to be allowed to stay in the building. Proper mask wearing, I have one of mine, I have many. When it's put on, it must sit over the nose, over the mouth, snug to the face. There's the question about gaiters, and there's the question about bandanas. So long right now, as long as our policy states, when someone is in the building, this is how the mask is worn. Some people have said, are students allowed to take a drink of water? Of course they are. But if they have their water bottle, they're in class, this is how they wear the mask. The proper way to take a drink is to hold the mask up, have your drink, and then put the mask back down. If you've touched your face, sanitize, particularly if you've touched the inside of the mask. I'm going to take it off because I am home. If students are refusing to wear a mask or are not able to mask safely, masking safely is a different issue, particularly if it's disability related. And we do have some protocols in place for that. But if the student's choice or the student's behavior is impacting the health and wellness of someone else or their safety, we do have this in our COVID addendum to our handbook. And can we legally offer an option to that student to continue to learn? The answer is yes, that student will have remote learning. But when we talk about interventions, we are going to talk to the student about why they might be refusing to wear a mask. We will have our counselors involved. Our first line of defense is never going to be to throw a student out. But if a student is, there has to be a level of accountability. We all have to wear a mask. And if you're not wearing a mask and you can't keep us all safe, we'll have you learn remotely. And that will be sort of a final step if we have to. And we could go straight there, depending on how belligerent or rude a student is about the situation. The reality is the mask stays on. There is some guidance about masks. We will have disposable masks available. Our school nurse will have them. Some of our teachers will have them. There's some caution here about gaiters and face shields. If our policy changes on this as a district, we will let you know. I wear a gaiter when I coach soccer. It is two-ply. It is washable and breathable. It is no different than wearing a mask, except I take the gaiter and I kind of fold it up over my mouth and my nose. Face shields will be available for students who are not able, because of disability, to wear masks. But again, it needs to fit snugly. It needs to cover the nose and mouth. There's also a video here from the CDC on proper mask wearing, and you'll be able to watch that when the slideshow goes home. There's also some ways to clean it. Make sure you're laundering the mask on a daily basis. I have several, so I don't have to do laundry every day. And I'm going to turn the attention to, you know, the thing that everybody's worried about, which is what happens if there's someone who's symptomatic. You know, if a student goes to the nurse and is symptomatic and our nurse sends someone home and with the letter that indicates you were seen in the nurse's office for potential COVID-19, a test is going to be required to return to school. If you want to come back, you know, in a couple days after the fever clears out, you're going to have to be tested. And if that test is negative, you can return to school when asymptomatic and fever-free, fever-free, for at least 24 hours. So both asymptomatic and fever-free for 24 hours without fever-reducing medication, and the diagnosis gets sent to the school nurse. So you had the sore throat, the fever, turns out it was strep throat. We need to know that. That goes right to the school nurse. If the test is positive, physician and parent should notify the Board of Health and you'll be required to quarantine for 10 days from the start of the symptoms, and you have to be fever-free for at least 3 days. The symptoms have to have improved, and the Board of Health must clear the student to return back to school. If you're not tested, again, we won't know that you're positive, so there's no involvement of the Board of Health. But if you get sent home, or you're home with all of those symptoms and the fever, and choose not to go to the doctors or choose not to get tested, you're going to have to quarantine for 10 days from the start of the symptoms, and again, be fever-free for 24 hours and symptoms have improved. If, in fact, we have a positive case in the school, people have said, are we going to shut down? Are we this? Are we that? The reality is we have two letters, templates that we have developed in conjunction with our Board of Health. The Board of Health, public health nurse, and the board will work with our superintendent on next steps. Namely, for us, it involves determining who is a close contact to that student. We have a bunch of procedures in place to make sure we can do that and do that well as a building and do it quickly. Again, if we have notification of a positive test, we have a bunch of protocols in place to then notify with a different kind of letter to families that they have in fact been identified as a student who was in close contact for possible exposure. It's entirely possible that we will have a student who tests positive that didn't have close contact with anybody in our school, or it happened over the weekend, it happened at home. We hope we don't deal with any positive cases, but we want you to know that if we do have a positive case, we have it covered. We have a really, I think, tight procedure. And our thanks to Dr. Black and her folks at the Board of Health for their assistance in helping us develop that. As we go back to the school day itself, thinking of safety, thinking of procedures, you will see as you come into the building, there's an orange stripe down every single hallway, and students are asked to walk on the right side. As students walk around the building, their stairways are one way. The corridors are not, but there are stairways that are one way, and we do think it'll take some time for the kids to get used to the quickest way from A to B. There isn't any stopping at lockers between classes. In fact, we're not even signing lockers this year. But if a student, if a family says, look, we really need a locker, we'll work with you, rest assured. Keep an eye on the signs, particularly at the bottom of stairways. They will let you know which stairways are good and not good for going up or down. We have a procedure for restrooms. This helps us monitor who may be in a restroom in the case of somebody being ill, but it also helps keep the numbers down. We're presetting that any given moment, only 10 students and one in the whole building, and only one student per class per time can sign out. Of course, if there's emergencies, we can work with that. It's an electronic pass. Students go to the bathroom that is nearest to that classroom, and they return back. If they happen to get there and there's two people in the restroom, they wait outside, one person exits, they go back in. It's the responsibility of the student to start their own pass, and students are required, again, they can't take their mask off. This isn't an excuse for a mask break. We do have mask breaks. They are established, and right now our best procedure is to go outdoors. We will be working on an indoor mask break procedure if there is inclement weather. The state indicated back on August 31st that they were going to give us guidance on mask breaks. We're still waiting on that. So we have a scheduled 10-minute break by classroom, different parts of the building, and we're going to try and have those be outdoors as long as possible. That being said, if a student is really struggling and needs a minute and asks for a pass or takes a pass to come down to the office, we have the ability for a student to wait outside the office, right outside our front door, right on the stoop, get a quick breath of air, and go back into the building. But mask breaks do not happen inside as of right now. In terms of classroom procedures, we've talked about passing, and we talked about empowering students to help. Our students will, a couple minutes before the end of each class, be given an alcohol-based wipe to wipe down any surface they are sitting at. There may be some things that get sprayed down, some equipment, some lab stations, for example. And the wipes actually don't even require a wipe off with a paper towel. It's just, it sits, it dries within 3 minutes. And we'll be providing a video for the students so they know how to handle that. I know this was a lot of information about safety and procedures. Next up, you'll see a little bit about the academics. Hope this was helpful. Appreciate everyone's help. And together we know we can keep Uxbridge High School safe as we return to school. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.